Welcome to Inner Healers, a radio show dedicated to bridging science and spirituality by sharing the latest news on integrative health and overall well-being from a spiritual standpoint. Producer Luciana Stiglich, BASM, is a medicine woman and will be your host in this adventure. Join her every Wednesday to remember you can heal from within. You are an inner healer. Are you ready? This journey starts right here, right now.
Good evening already. So guys, as many of you already know, this is Inner Healers Radio. We've been on Blog Talk for about 10 years and this is our first Facebook Live. So some of our listeners have been asking us to do Facebook Live, so this is our first try. And I thought that it would be amazing to have with us Eliana Gillett. She's an amazing sound healer. She is the owner and the founder of Voices of Eden. She's been 2 times in TEDx talks, and she's been researching sound therapy in health for many, many years. She works between Los Angeles and Galilee. So let me introduce you, Eliana Gillett.
Hey there, everyone. Hi!
And that is a representation of Miriam. Yes. So, Eliana, would you please tell us a little bit about your background for our listeners?
Sure. I have, for the last 30 years now, devoted my life to the resurgence of an ancient feminine leadership and healing sound way that is... that was practiced in pre-biblical times in the Near East. And how do you prove something that's 5,000 years old that it was never written down? And my way was to go to a hospital, a neonatal intensive care unit in the midst of war in Israel. I figured if I'm full of caca, there'll be no results, or, you know, they won't say okay, and there won't be any research. And if there is research, if there's nothing, then I'll know I'll come back to the United States and I won't ask any more questions. But if I'm not full of caca and listening to this inner guidance, even when it doesn't make sense, and actually acting upon it, if that really is true, then there will be results, and then that will take us to the next step forward and walking that walk and trusting and making the presentation, you know, with jitters and butterflies in my stomach and trusting, resulted in a 3-year fully funded medical research project. And I'm not a doctor. And it's really amazing because that research was back in 2004. And where are we today? In 2020. So that was 16 years ago. And my name is as author on the research, and I'm not a medical doctor. And they put initials after my name. And I kept going, what are these initials? I'm not a doctor. And that one day I'm going to be telling this story, because I get it that I have to say I'm not a doctor, and that doesn't have to stop you. Your credentials don't have to stop you from moving forward on what your inner guidance is guiding you to do. That's the most important thing. So here we are 16 years later after that first research, which has today become the benchmark in the field of healing sound. And it's really amazing because now during COVID, my mom a few years ago, I'll bring it here just a sec.
Sure. So this is Eliana Gillett, your friend from Inner Healers. It's amazing to have her here with us. If you check out our records, you'll see that she's been with us before a couple of times. So here's Eliana.
Yeah, like our first one was like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
Right. So yes, you're one of our most loved and adored guests here on Inner Healers Radio. So thanks for
being here with us. I remember it so well because my internet was out that day we were supposed to do it, and I went to my neighbors.
That's amazing.
They're in Galilee. So this, can you see this music against the madness? I don't know whether you can you see that?
Yes. And it's featured in the health part of the newspaper, right?
Yes, this is health of Jerusalem Post. Sunday, look at that. Sunday, October 5th, 2003. So we were in the midst of the research. The results hadn't come out yet when that article was written. And my mom, 2 years ago, she found this article in her drawers. I must have sent her a copy when it came out, and she framed it for me. That's what she gave me for my birthday, which was really sweet of her. And I hadn't read it in, you know, since 2003, around there, and I read it last week. And it says here, the first baby they gave me suffered from respiratory disease. I'm like, holy moly. I don't know where it is. I'm not going to look for it. But, you know, how appropriate in the days of COVID, you know? One more application.
That's holy amazing. God. So giving on with our topic, actually, I think that's something amazing that you said. First of all, that your background should never stop you, right? And the other thing that I think it's super, super important that you just said is that sound has actually proven scientifically to be an amazing medicine for respiratory ailments, as you proved with your babies back then in 2004. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, well, the essence of all matter is vibratory, right? You know, like the atom. And in ancient times, sound was used as a spiritual leadership, health, and engineering tool. And we've forgotten that technology for the most part, that we do use it in medicine through ultrasound, though we tend to look at the machinery of the ultrasound, but it's actually the vibration, that is going through the tissue, measuring through heat waves, which is also vibration. But the sound is the first part. So the vibration, sound is the first manifestation from ether to material. We can sculpt sound waves, though we don't see them. We tend to look at, you know, the thing, you know, the idol, you know, the equipment, when it's actually the vibration that's doing the sound, that's doing the work. Well, if everything is made of vibration, atoms are vibration, then everything vibrates. And knowing that, when we connect to the source of our power, you know, to that ether of which we're all part, then we can change our entire structure. Mm-hmm. Or it provides, let's say, how I would describe it today is that this way, and it's not just about the sound, it's that it's an entire way that you can approach self-leadership and mindfulness, a mindful use that back in those days, and it's just very recently, in the last year or so, and particularly in the last few months, that words are coming out that I can enunciate how these things connect. I've always known it, but I would either focus on the sound, you know, in those years that we were in contact with the sound, and then in the last several years, I've been focusing on the leadership aspect since Miriam's Secret came out on revealing the ancient wisdom of feminine leadership. But now they're coming together, and it's really, it's very, very exciting. I hope I answered your question.
Sure. So you also were telling me offline that you are hosting, which I think it's something amazing, you're hosting a small short class on actually what you were just saying, how these two blend, right? So how sound healing and the secret of Mirian are blending. And it's, yes, thank you. Yes, and this is like also I think the show today is to save people, to tell people happy Easter, happy Passover.
Yeah, on the last day, Miriam was the sister of Moses, and it was actually she who prophesied his birth. And she's a I don't want to say, prototype isn't the word. She's her imagery, or she's, well, I'm just going to use that word, prototype of archetype. That's what I was looking for. The archetype of feminine leadership. That feminine leadership and power that knows its value and its worth, so it doesn't need to be seen.
So for those of our listeners who may not know who Mirian is, or who may not know the Bible and the story where she becomes this amazing leader, can you please tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Most people don't know who Mirian is. She was the sister of Moses. And actually, maybe I can... Nah, I'm not going to read from you. She, well, if you ever seen the Disney film of, there is like a little print, I don't know, there is a Disney of Moses, and she is there. She's the, you may have seen the story of the parting of the seas, where the Hebrews are being pushed into the sea. Most people have heard something of that, seen it in a cartoon or something. So the Hebrews, they were slaves in Egypt, and the story of Passover, and actually Easter as well, they're the same notion, is really about freedom from slavery. Now, the actual story of the Hebrews, and they were enslaved by the Egyptians, and they dared go after their freedom. There was this idea of, you know, they lived according to this idea of one God. Not an outside God. That idea and imagery came 1,000 years later, much, much later. But this idea of one, that the divine is in everything. And, you know, that went contrary to, you know, to the matriarchal ideas and worldview of that day, that actually doesn't, there's no contrast, actually. But in matriarchal worldview, many different things can exist all at the same time. It's Mother Nature, it's cyclical. And, you know, but this idea was going from a matriarchal to a masculine worldview, cognitive, where we were going into our heads and intellect, I see, in order that we would be able to develop the technologies and the industry and all of the things that over the last 3,000 years that humanity has done and succeeded very well at. And now we're at the extreme opposite of all of that is coming apart, allowing for this feminine power to come back up. It never went away. But she, being a prophetess, would have seen what was happening, and through her leadership allowed for Moses, she actually led, but from the sidelines. And if we look at feminism, or, you know, this thing of men and women, that's still from a, it's still a dichotomy of masculine worldview, that there's a this or a that, when in a feminine worldview, there's a this and a that. How can, and there actually is no problem. Because it actually is very much in line with monotheism, which is everything exists all at the same time. It's just whatever perspective and angle you want to look at. Beyond that, beyond those are still cognitive ideas. Beyond the cognitive idea is our beingness. And Miriam led from that consciousness. And the role of this way is something that's very useful for us today when we have one foot in this old world that is falling apart and one foot in this new world that no one has any clue what will be, and no one knows what's going to be. No single human being on this planet, which may terrorize the bejesus out of you and may excite you, because there is such expansion that's occurring. And this way is like a container that allows for the birth. It's kind of like the contractions in labor, where there is mayhem. We're living through mayhem. We are living through mayhem, and it's bloody. That's what happens in birth, and that's what happens in transitions. And the use of this approach and this music in ancient times, we still see it on hieroglyphics, both in ancient Egypt and in ancient Israel, on birth chamber walls and in catacombs, for example, in my hometown of Beit Sha'alim in Galilee. That was the use in transitions. And so today it's a very, very useful, productive, and nurturing and nourishing way to cradle. Mm-hmm. Cradle yourself. Cradle, nurture, nourish, soothe yourself through the fear and through the angst and the pain and panic and worry. One of the ways to use this book, it's not a cognitive book, it's like as an oracle. So just before I got on, what would be for the highest good for everybody who, you know, for us and everybody who's going to watch? And I just, you know, randomly open. And two things stand out. In the story of the people who would become the Israelites, Miriam led the women in triumphant refrain for their safe passage through the parted waters, making it possible for new life to begin. The baby was born, arriving safely through the tumultuous birth canal passage. We need her I'm just jumping around. We need her skills of prophecy to trust that there is a way to get out of our misery and into our own promised land. And then the next chapter, that's the end of that chapter. The next chapter is the relationship between literal birth and inner transformation.
Which is in a way what is happening right now, right? Which is in
yeah,
a way.
Yeah, and just what we were talking about. Yeah. Do you want me, this is one page long. Shall I read
it? Sure, of course.
To explore the relationship between literal birth and inner transformation, I met with Mindy Levy, a professional midwife who has assisted in over 1,500 births, both within a hospital environment and in homes. I asked her, through all the births that you have assisted in, how do you relate birth and transformation? Her response was powerful and to the point. The transformation is the birth of a new self, a changed person, a changed being, someone who has been willing to die in order to be born. It may sound overly simplistic, but every woman I've ever witnessed giving birth or whose birth I have participated in has always undergone some form of transformation, which we could add to it now, societal, in this pandemic. You have to go into hell and then come back to find heaven. If that isn't transformation, what is? Can you see a correlation to your own life? Have you gone through some change where you get to a stage where you think you're going to die? It feels as if you can't go on anymore. And when that moment comes, you've just about made it home. As the saying goes, the darkest hour comes just before the dawn. Levy describes the transformation of women in labor like this. There's a movement going on. There are contractions. There's pain. And then there's a rest. It gets more and more painful all the time. Yet the capacity to deal with the pain increases as well. While the pain gets stronger, the hormones released by the body are stronger and they help the woman counteract the pain. As the observing midwife, when a woman says she can't go on, I say to myself, oh good, the baby's on the way. That's when I know she's about to give birth. When you control your thoughts and emotions, you can actually be going around in circles and not moving ahead at all, Levy notes. When the movement becomes chaotic, there is more opportunity for something to break out. And from that breaking out, something new can actually happen. Something new can come in. That is when the transformation occurs. It can be terrifying to surrender to chaos. It feels like all hell is breaking loose. Drawing upon the well of wisdom inside ourselves is the key to birthing ourselves as we go through life's passages, or when hell is breaking loose, or we are trying to manage inner and outer conflict. Finding our inner voice of truth and wisdom is essential to the process of our individual transformation, health, and well-being. Of course, life is not all smooth sailing once we leave the past behind. There's the period of postpartum, which is full of joy, relief, exhaustion, depression, and another powerful cocktail of emotions. The Israelites' postpartum period after escaping bondage in Egypt lasted 40 years. We've been at this 1 month. That's how long they spent in the desert before they were able to cross over into the promised land. Although with the advent of the internet, our entire notion of time has sped up. In the grand scheme of things, 40 years is not all that long of a time. The Israelites wandering in the desert were undergoing an entire shift of civilization and an entire shift of worldview. I remember reading somewhere that it required one or two new generations to be born for them to be able to move onwards. New blood, new mentality. It takes time to disengage from one way of being to adopt another. It is not possible to predict how long any transition in our lives can take us, and yet we must stay the path or fail.
It's beautiful. It has so much to do with what's happening right now. So I think that part of the message that you're trying to convey is that this time, maybe this virus is trying to offer us what you just said, a life passage. So this can be, there can actually be a before and after in our lives if we so choose to. We were talking about the importance of not letting fear interfere with our path of choice, with what our soul or our intuition tells us to do. And I also think that there's something very important, which is the role of the female role in this time. So women do give birth to new life, but not only when they have a child they do this. Women are the fire of a family, and the family is the basis of any community. So it's actually the basis of any country. It's the basis of the world. So this love that women can show, and these amazing traits that women have to connect with the earth, to remind us the importance of eating healthy, being nurturing, I think this is very important in these times. So how do you think, this is a question, how do you think that the archetype of the archetype of Miriam as this role model, this strong woman who could face adversity in the face and do something about it, you know, guide people in her way, and also the frequency of and the usage of sound for it to be healing, for it to be medicine, can be merged and help us with what is going on right now?
Yeah. Great questions. Well, Miriam's name means, there are many ways to understand it. The mar, mir, in Hebrew means bitter, and yam is sea, bitter seas, bitter waters, which I understand that to mean like the dark waters, like womb space. and where we have lost the capacity to appreciate the darkness. In our matriarchal worldview, there is space for the storm. In nature, there's space for the storm. You know, winter is, you know, is snow and storm and death. Does that mean that there's no life? No. It's part, you know, it's part of the process, but it's allowing, that's what I mean, there's a container. There's a much larger container because there's a cycle that's including all of that. And that's such power. I mean, we're isolated in our homes, but the sun is still rising every day. I mean, here it's like overcast. But the sun is still rising. Even if the clouds are there, the sun is still there. And it goes down and it gets dark every day, no matter what. And, you know, I've lived through wars and, you know, bombs dropping. It's like I'm still here. You know, it's like nature is so much larger than any of what we human beings create. And civilizations come and civilizations go. And who knows what is coming? And her power, you know, that feminine leadership is the power to contain and be an instrument of that, such as, you know, Mindy says so well, you know, like that, the process of our literal birth. And like you so poignantly spoke, it doesn't have to be a physical baby. Just because, like, birth, there's an ignition of something, and then there's a gestation period where something is, you know, is gaining momentum in that womb space in the dark. We don't see it yet. Does it mean that nothing's happening? No. When you plant a seed in the ground, does it mean that nothing is happening? No. That is, unless you get so impatient and you dig up the seed and go, no, where's my tree? Well, you won't ever see that tree. It will never see the light of day because it won't be given that fallow period, which is not fallow, nothing's happening. There's that, the feminine part of the darkness of allowing a gestation till there's right timing of something. And it's prophetic and poetic that we're meeting, you know, on Easter. You know, this is Easter Sunday, and it's also Passover. It's like that timing is not by accident. You know, there's an energetic, it's a resurrective quality. And I'm not referring to a Miriam, a Moses, a Jesus. You know, these are all images. The important part is the energetic of it, of embodying that nature and that feminine quality, the resurrection, you know, of Jesus and of Moses and of Miriam are all feminine qualities. It's not about man or woman. And so on Tuesday in Israel, Passover is celebrated the first evening and the last evening. It's a week long. Also seven. Seven is a feminine number. It combines even and odd for the dark, you know, like what's not sequential and what's off and what's cyclical. And so on the last day, it's like you've got this week to go through your desert, you know, through labor, through contraction. The whole idea of Passover in Hebrew, Egypt is Mitzrayim, which is from the narrow. I mean, it's so it literally is there right under your nose if you look for it. You know, going through and the whole allegory and the whole story on a spiritual level and on a mystical level relates to our freedom, our inner freedom, our inner slavery of fear and worry and doubt and making ourselves small and Pharaoh and being run and chased by our old habits, by how we keep ourselves back, by thinking that we've got to do everything and that it's all up to us. Oh yeah, really? All you need to look at is what's going on in the world today to see we're not in control. And I think that's a big pain and grief that we're all, that we're experiencing on a society, world level. This has never happened before in humanity. We're a very, very special group of people. And
yes, because in a way we're not used to surrender, right?
So
if you look at nature, like everything surrenders, right? So the animals and the plants and the whole ecosystem surrenders to nature itself, they surrender to the time in life, they surrender to the seasons, they surrender to hunting when they need food, but not necessarily every at other times. So they actually surrender and they flow with life, which is something that humans have been having a little bit of trouble to do.
Yeah.
So in which way would you say, or maybe we can show our listeners something about the healing music that you do and how this healing music can help them maybe modify their frequency to go into something more healthy, not only for them, but for their families, for their communities?
Yeah. I'll preface it by, and certainly, and I'll preface it by, when you spoke, it reminded me of something else that Mindy said that I didn't put in the book. She said, where I see where the danger is, she goes, and it happens, it's happened more frequently as time has gone on. She goes, with professional women, when they get to this wall and they freak out, they're panicked and they think they're going to die. She goes, that's when I know the birth is imminent and it's healthy. She goes, but when women aren't willing to let go, they won't surrender. That's when, if it's at a home birth, we have to call the ambulance and take them to the hospital. So that's where premature births happen, C-sections, death in birth, because the woman won't let go. It was like counterintuitive when she freaks out and panics. So there's, no worry to panic. That's just human. We've all been living in this atomic age, into material age for a few thousand years now, just moving forward in this kind of direction. And now it's all disintegrating to allow for this new birth to occur. It's like, why wouldn't you be worried? Why wouldn't you feel panic? It's just natural. Yet the sound, by surrendering and going beyond your cognitive mind, then that allows you to connect to your higher knowing. And that automatically calms you because right? You might not be able to enunciate it in words because words are a cognitive function of our rational brain. But where this sound is coming from is not a performance, it's not a doing. It's from the source of the sound, which is silence. And it takes you beyond your cognitive mind.
I was also feeling something very strongly while you were talking, because usually when we are facing something that is new, it's normal for us, as you were saying, to feel some anxiety maybe. And usually when you feel anxiety, what happens is that you feel short of breath, so you begin having problems with breathing. But breath is the origin of all life. So when a baby is born, the baby, right, it has its first breath, and then it cries or something, but the first thing that happens is that you have breath. And when something is really worrying for us and we start feeling anxiety, and then we cannot breathe in the same way. So I was also feeling that that the sound work that you do helps us do that, helps us regulate our breathing so that we can tune into the beat of your drum, for example.
Well, it absolutely does regulate your breathing because we don't have to plan our breathing. We are programmed automatically to breathe, and there is no limit to our breath. When you relax, your breath automatically opens up. You don't have to do something for it. Well, instead, well, let me just play something instead of me talking about it.
Sure.
And
that thank
just
you.
Speaks to you. Please come on Tuesday at noon Pacific time, which means 2 Peruvian time, or you know, wherever you are in the world. We're going to have a self-care Seder for Miriam to allow for us to connect, to come together and celebrate this full circle so that you can breathe better, have more clarity, courage to remain where you are and allow for this change to happen in such a way that you will benefit. As the ones, you know, like Mindy said, where we're at right now is that we're at such a crossroads of humanity, is that the ones who insist on holding on and resist are going down with the ship. It's the Titanic. And the ones who can surrender and let go, and that includes feeling panicked and all the icky stuff, you know, all the blood, but you're willing to go with the flow. We're all together going to a very, very good place, and none of us knows what that is. But you know, and it's your choice. It's your choice which way you want to go. And I know which way I'm going. I'm going to move Miriam. This is in a rhythm of 7 that allows for you to contain, you know, the parts that don't feel good and connect to the parts that do.
That was just beautiful. I just had this deep breath with what you just did. Thank you so much, Elian. It has been amazing. It was really beautiful.
Thank you. thank you for the beautiful service that you provide. And thank you everybody who's tuned in for the beautiful service that you provide. By being who you are, every voice really makes a difference.
Yes, and I think every voice right now is super important. And we all have to find ways to increase solidarity and get together like we're doing now, right? Getting together with all the people who might need the message that you want to give to them. So I think joining our lights right now is something of utter importance. So thank you for doing this with us today.
You're welcome. And I invite everyone who's watching to please come on Tuesday. It's donation-based. Nobody's going to be turned away for lack of funds. You know, people are in different places with their money. That's not going to stop you from coming. And each person who comes is going to receive a copy. And we're going to be using it orally. And I'd like to close here. The URL is elianagilad.com/Passover. There's a beautiful little self-care, 2-minute self-care music meditation there for you as a gift. You can just go on. You don't even have to download it or put in your name. Just go there and click. It's very, very nice. So that will help you immediately reconnect to your center. And everyone is going to get an answer to whatever the most pressing question is in this mini class. And what I'd like to end with is, Luciana, if you would choose, maybe we take, like, what would be for the highest good of all of us or everybody watching this?
I already have a page number. It's 97. Oh, okay. If it has the 97 page, right. Maybe that one will work.
Oh, how funny. Where I got to get my glasses. Page 97 is chapter 22, Hearing Miriam's Voice and Your Own. That's very short. Your voice is an instrument. Whether expressed out loud or silently, behaviorally, it's powerful. We tend to pay most attention to loud voices, but sometimes the soft and quiet ones or the actions that are observed are the most penetratingly potent voices. Miriam's voice made a difference that saved her people from extinction. When Pharaoh decreed the murder of all firstborn male children, the Talmud, that's the Hebrew scriptures, describes how her father, Amram, who was head of the Hebrew community, divorced his wife in response to Pharaoh's decree. Miriam, seeing the folly of this decision, spoke up. Amram listened to his young daughter and followed her direction. And it happened that his next child was Moses, who would eventually lead their people to freedom from slavery. It was Miriam who watched over Moses in the bulrushes to assure his safety. It was she who held the vision of transformation for her people. Her voice expressed this power. Safta Jamila, a widow of 5 children, 15 grandchildren, and 5 great-great-grandchildren, was born to the Druze faith in the Galilee, some 75, now it's, she's about 80 today. She doesn't know her exact age, as they didn't give birth certificates back in those days. Jamila comes from a long line of herbalist women. Once the medical system was established in the modern state of Israel, she decided to preserve tradition by figuring out a way to incorporate her knowledge of herbs for modern use. She incorporated the special elixirs prescribed by her grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers into handmade bars of soap. As a young woman, Jamila set up a secret laboratory space on the rooftop of her family's home. There, no one would know what she was doing. It was forbidden for a woman to have independent ideas, let alone bring products to market. Today, Jamila's secret soaps and skin lotions sell in 40 countries around the globe, and her factory employs only women, Druze, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. Her company is a living example of peaceful coexistence. When we met with her, When we met with her on our last feminine leadership retreat in Israel, Jamila had recently been awarded the National Medal of Honor. It is customary for the prime minister to anoint the head of honorees, so he touched her head. Jamila told our group, "Don't think that once you succeed, you become accepted by your community. Although I've worked for 40 years to honor my religion, my tradition, providing work and economic well-being for many, the fact that the prime minister touched my head caused our community to want to run me out of town. In the Druze culture, it is forbidden for a man to touch a woman's head. But I'm not leaving." As a religious woman, Safda Jamila is voicing her truth and leading the way to bring the value of the essence of her religion, steeped in ancient feminine wisdom, into the modern age so that we may all benefit regardless of where we come from.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much. And for all our listeners, not only women, but also men that might be listening to us right now, there's something very important and very unique in our voices. And in a way, voice is feminine, you know, the use of voice, because the feminine has to do with movement. So the use of your voice, in a way, is a feminine trait. So may you all be conscious, be aware of your voice today, and may you use your voice in a way that may help people, your family, your loved ones, your friends, may make people feel loved and accepted. And thank you, Elena, for being today here with us. Your Inner Healers friends, we've had Elena Gillett here with us today from Voices of Eden. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm the producer and host of Inner Healers. And we hope to have you, Elena, here back sometime soon. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Inner Healers, a radio show dedicated to sharing the latest news on integrative health, overall well-being, and spirituality. You can follow Inner Healers on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Join producer, host, and medicine woman Luciana Stiglich, BASM, every Wednesday for mind and heart-opening episodes. For questions and comments, drop her a line at luciana@innerhealers.org and support her work by donating on PayPal. Come back next week for another interesting conversation with one of her guests. To remember, you can heal from within. You are an inner healer.